Please turn with me in the Word of God to the Gospel of Matthew and to the chapter, or part of the chapter that was read to us, Matthew in chapter 15, and the incident of this lady from Syrophoenicia. And my text from this passage is in verse 22, Matthew chapter 15 and verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. I could have selected an alternative text, and that alternative text would have been from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, where our Lord says, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. For here we have an example of one who asked, and it was given to her. She sought, and she found. She knocked, and it was opened unto her. And here in this 22nd verse, And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. The theme of today's messages has been seeking Christ. This morning we consider the Queen of the South, the Queen of Sheba, and the lessons we can learn as to how we are to seek Christ. And tonight we shall see the difficulties and the discouragements which seekers in Christ oft-times find as they seek salvation, as they seek the forgiveness and the cleansing of their sins. The Lord Jesus had met with much opposition. Many of his disciples, we are told in John chapter 6, had gone back and they walked no more with him. They were offended by his words, and he turns to his 12 disciples, and he says to them, Will ye also go away? And it is Peter who cries to the Lord, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And there followed a lengthy debate with the scribes and the Pharisees. And as the opposition mounts towards the Christ of God, Matthew records here in verse 21, Then, as the opposition mounts, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. Our Lord left Israel and he went into this land referred to as Syrophoenicia. And immediately the Holy Spirit focuses our attention upon a most remarkable incident by the words, Behold, and behold. Whenever you see this word, behold, hung out in the scriptures of truth, the Holy Spirit is drawing our attention to that which follows. There is that here which is of great importance. You see, there is that here which shames the unbelief of the Jews. There is that here which rebukes those so-called disciples of our Lord who went back and walked no more with him. On a previous occasion, recorded in John chapter 4, our Lord must needs go through Samaria. And I believe very firmly that on this occasion he must needs go to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. For there in that land of Tyre and Sidon, there lived this choice jewel of a woman. She is a woman of amazing, of remarkable faith. She had perhaps heard but little of him, and she met with so little to encourage her. And indeed she met with much that would have discouraged others. And yet, in spite of her lack of knowledge of the Saviour, in spite of the many and repeated discouragements, her faith triumphs over them all. And the Lord Jesus tries her faith by his discouraging replies in order to bring out the full strength of this dear woman's faith. For in her we see the fulfillment of Matthew 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Here is a woman who asked, who sought, who knocked, and who found. Well, very simply this afternoon, two main points. I shall be very brief on my second main point. But the first main point, the difficulties and the discouragement she encountered in coming to Christ. The compassion which only a mother knows for a suffering child moved this noble-hearted lady and nerved her heart to cry to the Lord for help. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But as she cries to the Lord for help, for mercy, she met with five discouragements. The first discouragement, the silence of Christ. For in verse 23, but he answered her, not a word. The silence of Christ. When our Lord stood before his accusers, he was silent. As a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. But here is a poor soul pleading for mercy, and his lips are sealed. She looks upon him through eyes of sorrow. She besought him with a broken heart, and yet he who had come to bind up the brokenhearted is strangely silent. He answered her not a word. It seems as though he is impassive and unmoved by her pleading for mercy. It seems almost as though he has not heard her cries and her entreaties. He answered her not a word. She had come to him, and she had spoken very piteously. She had thrown herself at his feet, for her daughter's case was most urgent, grievously tormented with the devil. Her cries were piercing. Her cries would have melted the hardest heart. And yet the one of whom we read constantly throughout the Gospel of Mark, the one who is full of compassion, is silent. He answered her, not a word. What a discouragement that would be to this broken-hearted woman from Syrophoenicia. And yet, not even the Lord's silence could make her doubt him for a moment. She staggers not. She believes in him, and she goes on believing in him, though her plea for mercy is met with silence. When a soul truly seeks the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, when a soul is in earnest for the forgiveness of sins and the cleansing of the precious blood of the Lamb of God, when a soul cries to the Lord for salvation, there may well be times when your cries and your prayers are met with silence. When the heavens seem as though they are as brass. But once you believe that Jesus is able and willing to save, not even your unanswered prayer shall make you doubt for a moment. You remember Job, the man who feared God and eschewed evil. There was no man living upon the face of the earth like Job. You remember the trial, the loss of all possessions, the loss of children, the sores the boils, and then the torment that came from those so-called three friends. And there came a moment when Job cries, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Though the Lord Jehovah slay Job, Job is determined to go on trusting in him, believing that he is gracious, believing that he is full of mercy, believing that he is full of love. I will trust him, says Job, though he slay me. And this dear woman from Syrophoenicia has a faith like that. Though he be silent, though he answer me not a word, though the heavens appear as brass, yet I will trust in him. I will continue to search his word for the hidden treasures of eternal life. I will continue to agonize to enter in at the strait gate. I will continue to resist unto blood, striving against sin. I will continue to cry and to plead for mercy, though the heavens are silent to my entreaties. I will continue to believe and to trust in him, and she is resolved to go on asking, to go on seeking, to go on knocking. But here is the first discouragement, the silence of Christ. He answered her not a word. The second discouragement, the disciples, in verse 23. But he answered her not a word. That's the first discouragement. The second is also in verse 23. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. These disciples do not appear to be moved to compassion for this woman and for the case of her daughter. The disciples are more concerned about their own comfort and convenience. They had come with the Lord for peace and quiet. They had come away from the hostility and the opposition that our Lord was encountering in Israel itself, and they had come into Gentile territory, into the land of Tyre and Sidon. They had come, the disciples thought, they had come there for rest, for quiet, for peace, for solitude. And here is this woman. Our Lord has answered her not a word, but she continues to cry after him. Send her away, for she crieth after us. She is following and constantly repeating the plea that she has already made. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And on she cries. The disciples, perhaps they are embarrassed. Perhaps they are annoyed. But whatever reason, they turned to the Lord and they besought him with passion. Send her away, for she crieth after us. It seems to me that these disciples had grown far too important in their own eyes. She wasn't crying after them at all. Send her away, for she crieth after us. No, she wasn't. She never mentioned Peter, or John, or James, or Matthew, or the rest. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. She was crying after the Lord, not after the disciples, after the Lord himself. But here are the disciples, grown too big for their own boots. And, oh, what cold, hard, unkind, unsympathetic words came from their lips. But she is not discouraged by them. They said, send her away. When a soul truly seeks after Christ, Yes, there may be times when your prayers for salvation seemingly go unanswered by the Lord. And sadly, there may also be times when Christians themselves, those who claim to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, become a stumbling block. And all of this is but to try the genuineness of your faith. And I would exhort you and encourage you to be like this dear woman here in the Gospels. Her response was not, well, if that's how Christians behave, if that's how your followers behave, I want nothing more to do with Christianity. How many people have I come across who have come across the stumbling block of the example of Christians, and they have used that as an excuse? My friends, if they didn't have that, they'd find some other excuse. But nevertheless, this dear woman is not put off by the disciples. She used the cold, the impassionate hearts of the disciples as a stepping stone to Christ Himself. The silence of Christ, the disciples, but then there is a third discouragement that she encountered. The doctrine of election. In verse 24, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. How these words must have fallen like lead upon this woman's soul. As she hears these words coming from the lips of the Son of David, she might have concluded, well, there is no hope for me. I do not belong to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I am not one of the elect nation. I am a Greek. I am a Syrophoenician. I am a despised heathen. Surely there can be no hope for me. And how many who seek Christ come across the doctrine of election here in the Word of God, and they are offended by the doctrine, they are discouraged by the doctrine. My dear friends, the doctrine of election, I believe, is the golden thread of Holy Scripture. But it ought never for a moment hinder a soul from coming to Christ when properly understood. Rather, it should encourage sinners to go to Christ Himself. I was giving pastoral counsel in Scotland to a young man a few weeks ago, discouraged by the doctrine of election itself. Our Lord says in John 6, and verse 65, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. And we read again that our Lord says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. How do you know that you're one of the elect? Our Lord says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. One of the signs of being one of the elect is that you come to Christ. And them that come to Christ, the Lord says, I will in no wise cast out. And here is this woman, she has come across, our Lord speaks to her and says, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she is not offended. She is not put off. Rather, she hears this glorious doctrine and her response is that she worshipped Him. She came in verse 25. She and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. Oh, it may be true, Lord, that you are sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but it says in the Old Testament scriptures and the Gentile shall come to thy light. And it says again, the forces of the Gentile shall come unto thee, and I am a Gentile, and I am coming unto thee, as recorded in the Old Testament scriptures of Isaiah. Why, perhaps ye thought, if he is only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and why has he come here to Tyre and Sidon? Surely he is here on an errand of mercy. And if there is mercy to be had, then I intend to find that mercy. And if you have the faith of God's elect, then you will keep on asking and pleading and seeking and knocking, as this dear woman did. She hears of the doctrine of election, and she came and fell before him and worshipped him. So far, three discouragements: the silence of Christ, the disciples themselves, the doctrine of election. But then there is a fourth discouragement: religious prejudice. Verse 26. He answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." Religious prejudice. Our Lord is here reminding her of the religious prejudice of the Jews against the Gentile nations. The Jews regarded themselves as the children of God, the special favorites of heaven, and they looked down upon the Gentile nations of the world with a cold and callous contempt. Indeed, those of all other nations were regarded as dogs. Dogs. You remember the Apostle Paul, when he writes to the Philippians, he says, "Beware of dogs." And you remember our Lord in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Give not that which is holy unto dogs." And the Greek word translated dogs in both of those examples, Philippians 3 and Matthew chapter 7, is a very strong word. It refers to those vicious dogs, those ravening dogs that scavenge the rubbish tips and attack defenseless people. Vicious dogs. And our Lord here somewhat takes the edge of that. And he says, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. But he doesn't use the word that the Apostle Paul uses, or that he himself uses earlier on in Matthew 7. He uses a different Greek word. And the implication of this word is the dogs here refer to those little puppy dogs kept as pets by children in the home. So it's a different word that our Lord here uses. Not the large, savage, vicious dogs that prowl about the garbage thrown down in the streets, but rather those little domestic dogs which are kept as pets by children. And the Lord here is saying to her, it is not right to give those blessings which belong to Israel, the blessings which belong to the children. It's not right to give those blessings to those who do not belong to Israel. But even religious prejudice does not extinguish the flame of hope that burns within the heart of this Syrophoenician woman. And again, those who sincerely seek Christ for the salvation of their never-dying souls, they often will come across difficulties which arise out of religious ideas, traditions, prejudice, opinions of the day. And there are times when they get bogged down in what I call the foggy vapors of churchianity. But true faith, the faith that this dear woman has, blows them all away and lays hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. The silence of Christ, the attitude of the disciples, the doctrine of election, religious prejudice. But then there is a fifth, discouragement, the greatest of them all. Her own unworthiness. It is not right meat to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord. Perfectly true. You have spoken of dogs, and I do not dispute it. She is not offended by his words for a moment. She feels in her heart she deserves to be compared to a dog. Truth, Lord. She feels her wretchedness and her own unworthiness. Truth, Lord, I am a Gentile dog. She does not expect to deserve mercy. She knows she can never earn the mercy of Christ. She knows in her heart she depends utterly and entirely upon the goodness of Christ's heart. Truth, Lord, I am a poor, sinful, Gentile dog. Truth, Lord, there is nothing that I can do. Truth, Lord, there is nothing that I can bring to Thee. When a soul is seeking after the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, there will come a moment when you will feel yourself to be the worst sinner out of the flames of hell. There will be that time when you feel a sense of your own unworthiness and self-loathing, and it will cause you to cry with this woman for mercy. Truth, Lord. So here we have this Syro-Phoenician lady whose daughter is grievously tormented with a devil. She comes to Christ, but she meets with these five discouragements: the silence of Christ, the disciples themselves, the doctrine of election, religious prejudice of the day, and her own sense of unworthiness. Truth, Lord. The discouragements and the difficulties encountered in coming to Christ are brought to focus here in the case of this Syro-Phoenician lady. But then notice my second point, and somewhat briefly, the triumph of her faith. You see, she surmounts all of these discouragements. She has that kind of faith that removes mountains and causes mountains to fly away. She asked and she received. She sought and she found. She knocked and it was opened unto her. Truth, Lord. Then listen to this. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Truth, Lord. I am a Gentile dog. Truth, Lord, the children must first be fed. But Lord, it is equally true that the dogs under the table eat the scraps that fall from that table. You see what this woman does? She takes the words out of Christ's own mouth and she vanquishes him with his own words. And there is great force in her argument. Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. You see, first of all, she pleads with Christ from her hopeful condition. I am a Gentile dog. True. But Lord, Thou hast come here to Sidon, and I am not one of those ravening, scavenging street dogs. I am being compared by your own words to a dog in the home under the table. And is it not true that the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs? What an argument. We have a family in my church, and they've now just had their 12th and 13th child. They had 11 children, and when our friends found that she was pregnant again. The Lord blessed her with twins. And so they now have 13 children. And they often come and spend the day with my wife and myself, and the children sit around the table. And my wife's wee dog waits for them to go. And there is the dog under the table, vacuuming up every minute crumb that's fallen from that table. And when there are children round the table, as the children are smiling here, so they must be guilty of this, when children are around a table, there are always plenty of crumbs that fall on the floor. And these wee dogs come and they pick up the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Truth, Lord, yet even the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Truth, Lord, I was afar off, but you have come, you have preached in our borders of Tyre and Sidon, and I have been privileged to hear you and to see you, and I have heard that others have been healed, and you are full of grace and mercy and kindness and of love, and I look on as a dog under the table. Let me just gather up the crumbs. That's all I ask for, just the crumbs. Seeker in Christ, seeker after salvation, this is how you come and plead with Christ. You confess that you are a sinner, but you are not like other sinners. In this sense, because you have been permitted to hear the gospel. There are multitudes out there on the streets of Kilburn who have never heard the gospel, but you have been privileged to hear it. When there is a sermon preached even for the comfort of the saints of God, you have been there to hear that sermon. You have been allowed a privilege that is denied to many. Truth, Lord. Yet even the dogs under the table eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And notice here, further she claims Christ as master. The crumbs which fall from their master's table. What unbounded confidence this dear woman has in Christ. She has already addressed him as the true Messiah. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David. There is no question in her mind as to who he was and is. She has no need to debate within her heart about his divinity and his messiahship. She knows he is the Christ of God. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of David. All these points are settled in her heart and in her mind. She knows in whom she has believed. I tell you, this woman has more theology in her little finger than all the archbishops, bishops, and reverends in the land today. And she calls him master. True, Lord, I am a Gentile dog. But I know and note that you did not speak to me as one of those raving dogs, but as one of those little pet dogs kept by children in the home. And though I cannot claim the privilege of being of the lost sheep of the house of Israel, I can still call you master. Is it not true that masters feed their dogs, that they allow the scraps to fall from the table? I get into trouble at home from my wife, very graciously though. She has this wee dog, and I always ensure that there's a little left on my plate for the dog after every meal, and the dog sits at my feet. The only time it sits at my feet is when I'm having something to eat. But there it sits, drooling away, waiting, waiting, waiting. And I ensure that something drops. It never hits the floor. She grabs it before it hits the floor. And here is this woman. She has this picture of a dog, a little puppy dog kept by the children, waiting there for the scraps to fall from their master's table. And this woman waiting for a crumb of mercy to fall. And further, she calls Christ Master, but she pleads Christ Bounty. Seems to me that she has great faith in the abundance of the provision of mercy there is in Christ. As far as she is concerned, she knows that the children must first be fed. But when they are fed, not one of them would go short, not one of them would be hungry. And she knows after the children have all been fed to satisfaction, there will be many crumbs left over. Just as there were in the wilderness when the Lord fed the multitude and 12 baskets of fragments were gathered up after all had been fed to full satisfaction, she knows there will be crumbs left over. She is, you see, in the presence of one who can furnish a table in the wilderness. She would not want to deprive the children of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She knows in her heart that the love and the mercy and the grace of Christ would fill the children to full satisfaction, and there would be many crumbs left over that would fall from their master's table. What is a crumb to the Creator of the universe? She uses a diminutive word, just as our Lord uses a diminutive here for dogs, little dogs. She uses a diminutive. Even the little crumbs. The little crumbs which fall from their master's table. Even the little puppy dogs eat the little crumbs which fall from their master's table. Oh, what faith. She valued the mercy that she sought as beyond all price. She thought the mercy she wanted for her and her daughter was worth 10,000 worlds. But yet to the Son of God, what she is asking for is no more than a little crumb. And her argument is most powerful. Christ would suffer no loss. Not one of the children would be deprived, and she herself would be blessed and her daughter restored. And our Lord turns to this woman. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. If you are seeking Christ, earnestly seeking the salvation of your soul, seeking the forgiveness of your sins, seeking the assurance of heaven, there will be discouragements as you seek Him. There may be different discouragements to those we have encountered here, but this lady met with 5 such discouragements that would have put off many. But she kept on asking, kept on seeking, and kept on knocking. And she found that her daughter was healed that selfsame hour. If you are seeking Christ, seek Him as this dear woman sought. Do not be put off by discouragements and difficulties encountered in the way, but go on asking. Go on seeking, go on knocking, go on pleading, and ere long the Lord would grant to you the desire of your heart, the forgiveness of your every sin. For as you come to Him, He said, Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. Let us pray. Our gracious Father and our God in heaven, we thank Thee that Thou art very pitiful and of tender mercy. We thank Thee that Thou who art the God of all comfort, Thou art a gracious God, full of tender mercies. Indeed, we read of the rich mercy of God, the manifold mercies of our God. We thank Thee for Thy loving kindness. And we do pray for any who perhaps are seeking Thee, that ere long they will find thee, or rather be found of thee, for thou art the good shepherd that goes out to seek that one sheep that has gone astray. So we pray that seeking souls might be found of thee and might know the forgiveness of their every sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.